to worship the Lord with you. And a great brethren you are, a huge miracle to be able to do what you're doing already with 7 fingers and 1 foot. My word, how God blesses us. Of being true to the gospel, and you are misleading people because you are not who you are supposed to be, and you're not being what God wants you to be. So he's really, really angry with him. And from that, he goes into this little piece that in the other text is a small, this one's a little longer. So he says, what actually took place is this when Christ came into our lives. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a law man, person, so that I could become God's person. And Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. And I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. And my ego is no longer. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God because Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it's lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I'm not going to go back on that. Is it not clear to you that to go back to that old, rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? And I refuse to do that. I refuse to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. I don't even have to preach. Amen. Go home. So, do a little exercise this morning. Relax. Let me not talk if it can help you if you pass out. Now, we're not going to do any physical exercise. Just a little exercise. And don't worry, no one else is going to hear or see. Between you and God. Here's a little exercise. So imagine for a moment you meet someone that you've never met. Someone that you always look up to, someone that's well known. And they introduce you and they say, so and so, this is so and so. And you're really happy to meet the person. This person looks at you and this person says to you, good to meet you. know you. Tell me, who are you? Are you going to answer? How are you going to answer this person? Are you going to start by telling them about your job and how important your job is? Because that's who I am. Or are you going to start by telling them about all your achievements? Because that defines you. Or are you going to tell them of all the other important people that you know in your life and who positioned you for your place in society? To answer this question, and it's interesting to listen to your own answer because only you know the answer this morning, right? I know what I think. But the way we answer, if we look at that answer, it says a few things. And the first thing it says, this is what I think of myself. This is who I think I am. Question is, are you defined by your job or who you are when you're with so and so or through your achievements? Or were you born as someone that God already loved and wanted to change? Second thing that happens if we answer that question properly, it reminds us it's a bit of a difficult question because I have a choice to make. Because I'm going to have to choose which me I'm going to show you. The me that I think I am. The me that I want you to see me as. The me that I want to be. The me that I hope I'm not. And when I say that, I'm not saying that we're schizophrenic. That you and I, my friends, as we sit here and we know this. Each one of us, if you want to be honest with yourself, we carry quite a few me's in ourselves. And we wear them like masks. The me that I am is when I'm home. The me that I am when I'm in church. The me that I am when I'm at work. The me that I really am when I'm all alone. And I see myself in there. Which me? Even Paul, the Galatian, speaks of two me's. It says, there's the me before Christ came to me, all law-pleasing, person-pleasing, fear-pleasing kind of it, me, but that one died. It's not me anymore. There is a new me, the one who died with Christ, and now the one who lives with Christ. And in whom Christ lives in such a way that he is the most smiling. I said, come on, what do I know? I'm not going to do that to you. Who are you this morning? Bear with me for a second as I try and unpack that to you. When we come into this world, we come into the world all needy. I need someone to care for me. I need someone to protect me. I need someone to change my diapers. I need someone to feed me. I need someone to just be there for me. And as we grow up, the need stays there. And this need is fulfilled by people. And so I learned this thing that for people to take care of my needs, I have to play a certain role with those people so they care for my needs. I cry and then mommy feeds me. I throw a tantrum and then daddy loves me. We know that. But what happens is this becomes my life. And my life becomes what I have, what I do. And who I know. And before I know it, these forces become my life. And they turn me into, this is who I think I am. This is how I think. some of us it's my success, for some of us it's my status in life, for some of us it's this is how people should see me and how I should be loved and how I should be cared for. And the moment it doesn't happen, it feels like my whole life just disappears. And I've lost my meaning. Because that's what I think I am. That's what I think makes me me. Just think for a second, so much of our hurt, so much of our being unsatisfied with ourselves, doesn't it come from the fact that I can't get what I want, I can't do what I want, that I'm not acknowledged according to me for what I should be acknowledged, and that makes me unhappy. Here's the problem. The moment we fall into that trap, there are three worlds that start living in my life. The world of fear, the world of anger, and the world of loneliness. I'll explain that in 2 seconds. The world of fear, oh my goodness, I was always there. That was always my place. I was always seen in that place. What's going to happen to me now? Someone else is taking it over. Oh, I'm not there anymore. What's happening to that me? And there goes that me. And that was even this fear thing. And then that fear turns around into anger. But that's not right. They're not allowed to do that. And what's my place? That defines me. I have to be there. I'm not going to stand for this nonsense. Because of that, I pull myself back from everything and I become nothing else but lonely. And I lose all my meaning. That's my life. That's my life. You know what life is going to look chapter 9, and I'll give it now, we do this chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. Jesus says, you want life? Here's what you need to do. Come walk with me. But when you walk with me, number one thing you need to do, you need to deny yourself. Get rid of that old you. Get rid of all those needs. Deny yourself. Then you'll start living. Number two, if you want to save your life and really live life, you have to lose that. And trust me with your life. That's where life starts. But you see, I think sometimes we're like some tourists on a bus. Get in the bus and we close the curtains because it's sunshine out there and it's burning in the air conditioning can't work too well. And we sit with all those curtains closed. And the most important thing that happens to me is, oh, what seat do I have in the bus? Am I close enough to the washroom? Am I close enough to the front? Am I sitting with the right people? Am I sitting with the people they know? And the bus is going and outside with this wide open, this wonderful expansion of God's creation. But I don't see a thing. I'm just worried about my seat. What that says of me. I miss life in all of my lives. Can I take you to another passage? Can I take a beautiful passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I think they will have that on the screen. Paul says, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open space. Within Thanksgiving, the smallness you feel comes from within you. But your life aren't small. But you are living very, very small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Listen to this. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Open the windows. Open the curtains. And see what God has in store for the real me, for the real you. Look at Christ, how Christ lived his life. Christ wasn't motivated by what people thought of him. If he was, he would have been in his grave after a month. Because they hated him. They turned their backs on him. They were rude to him. They did all kinds of things. He didn't. He lived openly and expansively, and he was who his father made him to be. Christ wasn't motivated by building the biggest church with the biggest name with the biggest money. Christ wasn't motivated, he could care less one spirit and miss out on the greatest things. And my children and my wife and my husband are going to miss out on the most amazing things because I'm not living the real me that Christ made me, the false me that never made me. Let me give you an example, and I'll finish in 5 minutes, I promise. John chapter 4, you know this so well. And it starts again with the me thing. It starts with this whole competition. Who made more disciples, Jesus or John the Baptizer? And Jesus says, no, nothing to do with this. He just gets out of bodies because he doesn't care about this nonsense. So goes to Samaria. There he meets this Samaritan woman. She wants to make a lot of small talk about a lot of small stuff. Jesus says, only make small talk. He wants to talk about who she is. She's trying to get away from who she is. He wants to ask her, who are you? I'd like to get to know you. And so he says to her, well, fetch your husband so we can talk. She says, I don't have a husband. Oh, yeah, you're right. You've had 5 already, and the one you're living with right now is not your husband. That's true. I know you. I know who you are. But. If you think he's going to talk to you about divorce or living in sin, it's not what it's about. It's not what it's about at all. All he's doing, he's holding up a mirror and he says to her, look into the mirror, who are you? What do you see? Who do you see? Because I can see that you have been looking. You've been looking so long to find the real you. You're actually looking for God. And he tried to find even a husband, and a husband, he's like, maybe this is the night he's shining our mind. He wasn't. And maybe this one will take you to the candlelight dinners, and he didn't. And maybe this one will treat you better, and he didn't. And you've been looking, but you've been looking for the wrong you. You're not defined by them. You're defined by who you find yourself in God, who loves you, and who cares for you, and who created you, even in your brokenness. And in a moment, she sees herself. She sees Jesus for who Jesus is. And she says, you, sir, must be a prophet. You see what happens? When I see myself for who I really am, I also see Jesus for who Jesus really is. One who cares for you, the one who loves you, the one who embraces me. I don't have to run anymore. I don't have to impress anymore. I don't have to work my head off anymore. I'm done with this stuff. I don't have to please people anymore because I have found my real self, and my real self is found in Jesus' things I am broken and hurting and struggling and messing up often, and yet he says, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open. Why? Forgiveness is waiting. Why? Why you're waiting? Do you see the arrow? He says, because I have learned that I have died in Christ now lives in me, and I love this woman. If I don't have the greatest job and you don't like it, I don't care if I'm not the most loved person in the world. I don't care if I don't have anything. I don't care if this world doesn't see me or doesn't like me. That's the problem. For I have found me. I need the silent Jesus. Perhaps. For I can never be the me I need. We never sang this song. One day we'll sing it. Beautiful, beautiful song by a group called Casting Crowns. One day we're going to sing this. But just listen to these words. It says, who am I that the Lord of all of the earth would care to know my name, would care to see my hurt, because of what you have done. Not because of what I have done, but because of who